Welcome to the Wicked Radio Network.
Welcome to Angela's Awesome Podcast.
Here we are. Happy Halloween. Woo! Day after, really.
Oh, wait. Haunted Mansion. That's the Haunted Mansion. How are you, Angela?
I'm doing great, Hanno. How are you today?
I'm actually rocking it. I'm rocking it. It's been a great week.
Rocking it.
It's been a great, great week. Really, it's nice to make to move forward on things, and to take care of business. I had a physical this morning.
Oh yeah.
Big deal.
And everything went okay.
Yeah, and you know, of course, they're gonna do lab work and that kind of stuff like that. But just on the initial, I really wanted to get a new primary care physician because I love my old one. He's a nice man, but he's been around for way too long. He really has, and
reached his expiration date.
I've talked to actually other physicians that I'm friends with, and you know, they know it too. He was giving birth to babies when the hospital was still at Sun Valley.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So he's been in business for a long, long time. And like I said, he's a very nice man. I like him, but it was time to, change. So guy today was fantastic. I had a great conversation. Right. It was nice to have that conversation with someone who is kind of explaining what they're looking for, what they're doing. Like he was talking a lot about what they are looking for with somebody that is my age. What is important now, right? And he's got all his great things, you know, he's just like, all right, you know, health stuff. One of the first things, because if they're gonna like, let's say I did drink or smoke, you know, like if I smoked, they'd be like, okay, we're gonna screen for lung cancer, stuff like that, right? If I still drank, he would have done more focus on liver tests and that kind of stuff. So those are out of the way. So he's like, okay, cool. Now let's talk about some other stuff. And I love the one thing was speed, gravity. Something else. I can't remember the three, but you know, it's basically all the high impact sports where we hurt ourselves.
How much do you do that?
Yeah, how much do you do? You know, are you involved with, you know, going fast, falling quickly, you know, that kind of stuff. But the one thing that I texted you about was, he says, okay, well, you know, we have health, you have your genetics, and you have luck, you know, because he was talking about. At 50, they start doing the colonoscopies.
Right.
Right now they do PSAs, which is, you know, I did my first one 4 years ago, so that's kind of like my baseline. And then that'll be part of the blood draw. And, you know, family history, that's part of the genetics. And then, you know, and it was kind of cool the way he explained it. And I told him, I said, you know, I do a health and wellness podcast, and I'm so talking about that today. You know, because it was really interesting. It's true. You know, you have, okay, you know, because he says, you know, some people sit down and I can tell right off the bat that they're within a 20% margin for heart disease.
Right.
And it's just the idea of, this is my experience. He's like, I'm not saying I don't know for sure. People, right. It doesn't matter. But certain people, when I do my, you know, when he does his first physical evaluation, meaning, you know, he's listening to the heart, he's listening to the breathing, you know, he's obviously taking a look at me. And, they look for skin melanoma, that kind of stuff. But right off the bat, it's like, okay, what can we rule out? You know, like, so he's not going to, he looks at my blood pressure and all that. He's not going to rule out heart, to, you know, like, so he still gave me my percentage. He said, he's like, I give you less than a 5%. You know, chance of something coming back on your tests versus other people. I go, okay, there's a 20% chance that I'm going to see something on their tests, which is still pretty low.
Right.
But, you know, so in the end, I just, you know, my question for him was, is, you know, how often do I need to do this? And he says, you know, every 2 to 3 years. come on in, unless something changes. And he's like, you know, when 50 comes around, then we'll be talking about the colon stuff. But the rest of it, you know, and it's so, you know, and then that luck factor, that was the one, you know, and, you know, we talked about, and that's my biggest fear, I would say. Like, I talked to one of my coworkers about is, and he brought it up, like, pancreatic cancer. There's, I mean, people get pancreatic cancer and they're just dead. And it's, a lot of it's very fluky. You know, it's just honestly bad luck, you know, unless there's some real history there. So, yeah, it's always good for
me. Isn't it interesting that the two out of three things are out of our control?
Yeah, genetics and,
And yet as a society, we feel completely comfortable making fat people feel really bad because they're just not taking care of themselves and they're costing us all this money when odds are that...
Well, yeah, there's two other factors too. Right? Interesting. Yeah, no, that's a good point.
66% of it is out of their control.
Yeah.
You can't control your luck. I mean, I guess you can put yourself more in harm's way, but if he's going to call it luck, then it's out of your control. And you certainly can't control your genetics.
Yeah.
I mean, you know...
Yeah, we can't.
When I first started personal training, I remember we went to a lecture with this guy, and he's like, if you want to be an amazing athlete, he's like, pick great parents.
That's funny.
Because it's genetic. I mean, you know, I mean, there's certain things like, you know, if Michael Phelps didn't grow up around swimming pools, it would probably have a different life story, but he's also genetically built.
He actually has genetic flukes.
The awesome swimmer's body,
and
right?
He's got
the
some other
legs, the longer wingspan.
Yeah,
and he's wired for it mentally. You know, just that obsessive brain, and he happened to collide with some guy that was good at coaching, that kind of knew how to get him focused.
Isn't it interesting how success in a sport is also health, genetics, luck?
Totally.
You know, you just talked about it. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, if you grew up in Southern California, you were probably thrown into an intensive swimming program.
You know, and you probably aren't going to be the best ice skater.
Yeah, I had some friends I grew up with. They moved down to Southern California just to become part of swimming programs.
Right.
Because it wasn't as intensive in the Bay Area, San Francisco area. So that is kind of interesting. Yeah, and that's a great point about, you know, what do we look at? Here we have these two huge, you know, these two factors that you don't have any control over, and yet we put so much on the one, you know, that we do have control over.
We really do. We judge people.
Yeah. There you
have
it.
So you guys, Angela's Awesome Podcast, here we are.
Halloween. Woohoo, happy Halloween.
Apparently, you're releasing this on All Saints Day. I just looked it up.
Oh, on the 1st?
The 1st is All Saints Day.
All Saints Day. Okay.
Yep. It may have been an attempt to supplant the pagan festival of the dead. So they're going up against each other.
Oh, that's
apparently
funny.
Oh, good. We've got good sound effects today.
Yeah, I had to do that.
We're trying to bring you guys some inspiration for your week.
I'll tell you what's so inspiring.
Tell us.
Everyone that's listening to this, you just had one extra hour of sleep.
Yeah. Fall back,
baby.
If
you're listening on Sunday.
If you're listening on Sunday.
But even still.
And if you're listening, we just want you to know that thank you for listening. And
yes,
we want to hopefully inspire you to think about some things in a little bit different way today. Maybe inspire you to do things a little differently. We're, as Hanno mentioned, we're a health and wellness podcast. We like to talk about lots of cool stuff that's maybe a little less traditional, a little more unusual. And I'm an eating psychology coach, so we're going to talk about things from a mind-body nutritional standpoint, dynamic eating psychology standpoint, and we're sober, so we have years of that behind us. So we talk about some tools that we've both learned through our programs of recovery. And today's topic is called, how free do you want to be? So that's the question that's on my blog, goingdeangelis.com. That's where that is. And we're going to just do a little breakdown of that for you guys. So basically, what made me think of this topic was, we've brought it up a couple times in previous podcasts, mm-hmm. just in kind of passing. Yeah. But what happened is, a couple weeks ago, I was doing this talk. I've been doing a Tuesday night talk at the gym every week. And we were talking about acceptance and body image. And it was a great talk. I mean, just great people, and we went through some things, and without changing topics, we started talking about acceptance, and then we started talking about body image, and then we talked about embodiment, because embodiment's one of the number one tools of improving your image of yourself, and embodiment means being in your body, basically, and different tools to do that. But one of my attendees, who I just love, she said, well, this is all really great, but you just kind of line this out, and she's like, I think it's easier said than done. Like, I don't, you know, this is so off the beaten path way most people look at this. And I was like, that's a really good point. She's like, I think it's so hard to just accept my body where it is because I'm constantly hearing that it's not okay. She's a tiny bit older, older, and I can say, even as being someone who's in middle age, it's a transition for me as a female living in the United States, you know, going through menopause at 46 years old. Like, you know, the United States in general, we want to have people be skinny, pretty, and young. So when you start getting a little older and your metabolism starts to change and you're not young anymore, it can kind of throw you for a loop. So basically she was saying, you know, this sounds really good, but I just don't think it's this easy. So I thought it was a great point. I agreed with her. And I also thought, and what I said to her is I said, well, I've just given you some ideas of some things and kind of an alternative way of looking at your body. Some of the tools that I've used to kind of start looking at my body differently. And I said, basically, how free do you want to be? Like, you're pretty caught up in being obsessed about exercising enough, not being okay. You know, I mean, I don't know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I can tell you as a female who's recovering from, you know, past eating disorders and just basic social media in general, it's hard to let this go. Like, I've talked to so many women that have been like, if I just took a tenth of the energy that I've used in my brain to obsess, control, manipulate, focus on my weight, I could solve world hunger and bring world peace. I mean, because it can really dominate and take over in your energy. And basically, that was one of the things that she was implying, that like, this is taking up a lot of space. It's frustrating. I mean, I used to wake up and it would be like, I would weigh myself, and if the number on the scale wasn't what it should be, it would taint the entire day. That's insanity.
Yeah.
I think. I didn't think so at the time. I thought that I was just keeping an eye on it and being watchful and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is I was obsessed. I was unhappy if it wasn't right where it was supposed to be. And I was completely, you know, the majority of my energy was going towards how much can I work out? How little can I eat? Oh, it's my phone. So,
well, take this.
So I said to her, I said, how free do you want to be? And she said, she kind of started thinking about it. And I said, this is the deal. If you want freedom and you want to be free of this obsession, then you've got to take what we talked about today. Pick one part of it that resonates with you that you think is doable, and then start practicing. But it starts with an intention. You know, that idea of this isn't working, I'd like it to be different. Yeah. You've got to have that process first. Like, there isn't going to be any healing if you don't think there's something to heal. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's not going to be any progress forward if you think that you're just right where you are. And I'm not saying that you're not just right where you are. I'm just saying that for a lot of us, it's a good question to ask yourself, how free do you want to be? And I'm talking about this in relationship to body image, but I'll give you a second example. So this week, I don't know what happened at the end of last week, but I hit a crisis around the dog that lives across the street from the gym. He's been on a chain. I go by there. It's super upsetting because he's on this chain all the time. And I go in and out of the gym several times a day, almost every day. So I see him all the time. I've got the dachshunds. Everybody's barking at everybody. And I just, for some reason, it kind of hit a wall last week. And I just thought, this is ridiculous. This poor dog is on a chain. Like, something started happening inside of me, and I started getting obsessed, would be an understatement. So anyway, without going into the whole thing, what I finally did is I finally got tired of being, I felt like my thoughts were just dragging me around. So I was finally like, okay, you have so many tools. Are you ready? And I was like, yes. So I started doing some writing, like Byron Katie's 4 questions. Cause when you start getting, if you guys, this is a great resource for you. You Google Byron Katie. She's got a method called The Work, and she basically has these 4 questions that if you're kind of spinning around on your, in your mind about something, your thoughts are dragging you around. She's got this system. You can run it through these 4 questions. So, and you write them down. So basically I came home and I wrote them down. I wrote this, I was doing some writing on this, and I got to tell you, I did not feel more free. It didn't work. But what I decided was, and then I started trying to do this Tunglin practice, which is a Buddhist practice, which is you take this pain in, you breathe it in, and then you breathe out love. So you breathe it in, you breathe out love. So as I informed my Tuesday morning class when they all came in, because I was still in the throes of this, I was like, it doesn't work. So I was trying. So basically, I finally was like, okay, what else can I try? And I finally came to the serenity prayer, and it was like, accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I was like, I don't think I've done everything I can do to change this. Like, I'm okay with accepting it, but I need to actually see if there's any actions I can take. So you are now listening to the latest volunteer of Dogs Deserve Better, which is this organization that's in, I think it's in the southern United States, but they have volunteers everywhere, and they have this great, you know, system, and they basically help people spread the word and help inform the owners and get dogs. They've basically, they've gotten 3,000 dogs off of chains by either educating the owners, helping walk the dogs if they're not, if the owners don't want to do it themselves, or rehoming the dogs. It's crazy. But basically I started doing, and then I got involved with another project here in town with a doghouse project. So now he has at least a little doghouse. Because the last time I went over there, this kind of came to a peak on Monday night. He was shivering. I was freaking out. But I kept on asking myself, okay, how free do you want to be? And now that I've done that action, and when I get back from Mexico, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to bring them some dog treats, and I'm just going to talk to them, and I'm just going to be like, oh, I just have these dog treats. My dogs don't like them, which is going to be a total lie because my dogs like everything. But I just want to share them with you, and I take my dogs walking all the time. Would you ever want me to take your dog walking and just see if I can be more help? And as I was coming home today, I was like kind of getting stressed about it, and I was like, okay, now we're at a point where it's work on acceptance. You've done, you're a volunteer. You got him a doghouse. You have a plan in place. You can't do anything about it today. You're going to Mexico. Now I need to accept it and let it go, right? But I had to go through all that. But the reason why I'm bringing that up is because that's another example of I was getting drug around. Like earlier this week, I was going to bed and I was like, Rob was like, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm just stressed. And he's like, about leaving town? And I'm like, no, about the dog. And he's like, Angela, you have to let this go. So now I'm back to, okay, let it go and going through that stuff. And so when I was thinking about it as I came home today, I was like, okay, you've done everything you can do. Now it's time to accept it. Now it's time to start thinking about something else because you're going to follow up later. So basically, how free do you want to be? I mean, if I wasn't willing to do some of those tools, I would still be, we'd talk for the rest of the podcast about the dog, but we're not going to. So everybody take a deep breath and thank goodness. So that's it in a nutshell. How free do you want to be? And then I want to talk about a couple of other tools. Go ahead. I can tell you want to say something.
No, I'm not. I'm just.
You're just listening.
I'm just listening.
What are you thinking?
I can relate to the fact that this also happens to people on a smaller level, within their houses. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be something that takes days. And it's the same idea of something in your household, your work environment, or something that just bothers you and gets under your skin. And you know, you can either let it get under your skin and you've literally given, I'd like to consider as like, I've given the power away to someone or something, the power of my serenity, you know, the power of my happiness, that I've given that away to something that could be just as simple as how the dishwasher got loaded, you know, that kind of a thing.
No, right?
Right. And even though it might only be a half an hour, but still think about it. You just give away half an hour of your life because you got fired up over how the bowls were put in the dishwasher. And, right. and that's the minor thing. And we all experience this. We go into work and it's, boy, especially if anyone works shifts where you have a night shift and then you have the day shift or the people at night, like in the restaurant industry, the people at night that are closing up need to close up a certain way. So when the people come in the morning, that everything's ready for them to go. And the people in the morning come in and they go, oh, blah, blah, blah. So you can either just sit there and bitch and complain about it and get all fired up about it, or you can just fix it and just go on with your day and be happy, you know?
Right.
And those choices happen all the time. And then, you know, it can get bigger to like what you're dealing with, which typically that ends up being in the neighbors thing. You know, like if we have a neighbor that does they do certain things, they have their, and it gets to us, that's typically ends up being a bigger deal because it usually involves going and having a conversation or something at some point, which, you know, nobody wants to have confrontation. And then ultimately, like you're talking about, it gets to the big thing where we won't accept parts of who we are or we want to change something in either way. It's either our way of thinking, like I'm tired of obsessing over my weight, I'm tired of obsessing over, you know, the food I eat or whatever it is. And those go into a bigger, you know, that's a bigger slice of the pie to swallow, so to speak. Because now you're talking about, you know, especially like when you talk about the way you're brought up. I mean, if whatever your thing is that you want to change goes back to your childhood, that's a lot of life to reverse. It's not going to be very easy, you know. And a lot of our eating habits we've had for a long time. We didn't just suddenly switch how we eat, you know, 2 years ago. We probably developed habits 20 years ago, you know, depending on our age. But that's not an overnight switch. And that's a different level of, you know, that obsession like you're talking about. So,
yeah, that's totally true. Well, you know, the thing about like because I wanted to do a talk this round about acceptance, and the reason why it kind of filtered into the body image thing is because I'm trying to find this quote, but basically they did a thing on, I think it was third graders, and these little girls are more obsessed about gaining weight and more concerned about gaining weight than they are about a terrorist attack or losing their parents.
Does not surprise me.
No, I know, but isn't it slightly horrifying?
No, because, I mean, you know, how many times have you seen the Man on the Street interview where they ask people, like, basic things of how their government works or, you know, various countries, what just happened in the news this week or something like that. And people have no idea. They don't even know things. And it's like, it all depends on where your focus is. And if your day is consumed when you're a certain age I'm going to bring this up just because it's part of all this thing is there was a kid that committed suicide this week in our community. Mm. It's a 14-year-old boy. And all signs are pointing to social media. And not that it was social media's fault, but it was tied in with wanting to get into a certain, you know, being a part of a clique in school. And these kids, and if you're in your cliques, your little social circles, and this gets reinforced then with what we see, you know, if you're part of social media connecting with people, you're part of media. You're being bombarded with all sorts of stuff that become, I mean, we all know how hard it is to just freaking put down the phone and forget who's, you know, who's saying what and doing what. At that level, that's all those kids have sometimes. That's all they're doing. And this kid was, it just wasn't, I mean, we'll, you know, One of my coworkers, his son, they were best friends, so I got to hear a little bit about it, and it breaks my heart because it's the reality of things, you know. And we carry this on. We take this kind of thing starts and it goes with us, you know. This idea that I don't know. I'll end up being completely judgmental about this, but how you look, who you fit in with. Your sense of self gets, or sense of belonging or whatever, gets in the way of the world around you and what else is happening. And no, everyone doesn't need to know who the Speaker of the House is. I mean, they don't. But my point was, is that, you know, you go out on the streets and people are focused on what they're focused on. And so it's not surprising to me that, because once again, I think a lot of these attributes of ours, we start, refining them at a very young age.
Right. Well, I agree with you about the politics, but you know what? There's no way that you can't be, if you have parents that are raising you, that's not on your radar, that your, you know what I mean? If something happened to your parents, like, I think that's,
yeah, you're going into a level of actual, almost a mental disorder at some point if you don't even care about your family.
No, it's not about not caring. They just are more worried about losing, about gaining weight. Like, it would be a bigger tragedy to them to gain weight than to lose a parent.
Yeah, you know, I totally get it.
If you talk to them about the fear about it, it's...
Yeah.
But that's insane. That was not my story when I was young, and I picked it up pretty early, but even the way that I picked it up, it wasn't like it is now. I mean, and the facts... of how much this, how prevalent, this is a huge problem.
Well, I have a question about that then, because, all right, we all know someone with a legitimate eating disorder, like bulimia, anorexia, whatever that is, we know that they're obsessed, you know, a person that has one of those disorders is obsessed with it. They are more worried about their physical looks than they are about anything else in their lives. We know that. That's a, you know, and it's a real strong mental, it's a mental disease, right? So let's say we have a lighter version of that, kind of what you're talking about, where you have seemingly normal people whose body image becomes a greater worry to them than the health and well-being of their family and friends and all that kind of stuff, but they don't necessarily have an eating disorder. My question is that a disorder in and of itself?
Well, of course it is. Just because it's not, I mean, it would be like saying, well, you don't have cancer, but you've had mono for 3 months. Are you really sick? You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? It's a great analogy. It's like you sit there and you're, yeah, that's a great analogy.
Yeah, I mean, you dislocated your shoulder, but you didn't have it replaced.
Yeah, so. And how easy is this to bring to food? You know, like,
yeah,
you know, where people,
I mean,
sit there.
You know, you had a concussion, but you don't have a brain tumor.
And we talk about this all the time, where it's like, all right, you're basically killing yourself slowly by starving yourself to maintain a certain appearance. You know, you're relatively healthy. But you don't eat at all during the day. Yeah, it's this gray area where you sit there and go, whoa.
and it's something that I think people need to talk about or hear about, because I think it's a very isolating, nobody thought I had a problem because I didn't starve myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I was dieting constantly, but I didn't starve myself and I didn't look anorexic and I wasn't overeating and I didn't look like an overeater and I wasn't bulimic. So I wasn't throwing up, but I was exercising it off and there was no space in my head for anything else. And it was incredibly lonely. That was the big piece for me. I had friends. I had a social circle. I was getting a 3.2 in pre-med in college. Grade point average. I was holding it together, but I wasn't.
And you're an athlete, and yeah.
I was a total athlete. I mean, everyone's like, oh my God, you're such a runner. But it was lonely.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, and I think we're bringing this in, and I think that that's where this big question of how free do you want to be comes in, because I think it's an important thing to talk about because I think I've watched this because I've been personal training for 16 years. I've been treating myself with the help of therapists and books and getting sober and all these things. So, I mean, I started over obsessing about what I was going to eat when I was 14 years old, but it was cloaked in this whole thing of it's super duper healthy. Like, I won't eat that because it's not healthy. So it was not, it didn't raise any red flags. But looking back on it, and we now, that's even gone to an extreme. There's a word for it. I can't think of it. It's like anorexia or something where these young girls, maybe boys, we don't want to leave the boys out, where they're so obsessed, but it's cloaked in this thing of healthy. Like, I'm never going to eat this. I'm not going to eat that. But it's all healthy. But it's so over the top and overwhelming that there's no room for anything else. Yeah, there's no flexibility. That's not freedom. That's just not freedom. It might look healthy from the outside, but as we know, there's a mind-body connection. And if your brain is constantly fixated on, oh my God, I can't eat that. Oh my God, I can't eat that. Even if you never do eat it and you're in this health mode, supposedly, that kind of obsession can really limit your creativity, your self-worth if you mess up. Some people can't hold it together. Some people totally hold it together. It definitely takes you out of the present. It makes it challenging to have relationships. And yes, you may be able to attract someone into your life that's as checked out as you are. That certainly happens all the time. I'm not saying that, but I think that, you know, now through this evolution that I've watched is now we used to talk about dieting. Now we talk about cleansing. Oh, I'm on a cleanse. Because dieting has sort of been like, oh, you're on a diet. Like, diets don't work. Like, we've got enough information that most of us know diets aren't working. Now we're into cleansing. And now we have, I mean, there's so many women just even in this town where their big thing is, oh, yeah, you know, I'm just not hungry. Like, what? Like, you know, I just don't believe you. I think there's this cattiness and this competition thing and this one up and one out. And the reason why I know this is pervasive is because not only have I experienced it, I've watched it and I've heard women talk about it. There are a lot of women that finally get to a point, they're like, yes, I looked like I had it all together and I was constantly thinking about every single thing I put in my mouth. You'll see like this picture of some gal that's doing the selfie and she's like got this ripped abs and she's, you know, looking so buff, and then she'll have written a blog about it and be like, I was so lonely and miserable. I looked amazing, but yeah, I was lonely and miserable. I think there's all kinds of levels of that. So this is where that comes from, and this idea of how free do you want to be. I don't know that this is something that you can even really understand because you have such a high metabolism. Like, you've never been obsessed about this. I mean, you have had your own thing about getting bigger, but this is a really big thing with women.
Well, the only way I can relate to it is going back to being young and being insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the only way I can relate to certain parts of this type of a conversation is when I was younger and I was, you know, obsessed with whatever it was, whether it was, you know, fitting in or, you know, there were periods in my life where I've wanted to look a certain way or whatever it is. And I can relate to it. And this is really a scary thing when I think about it, because you're talking about an obsession that actually prevents you from seeing the truth. And the people that are in this level, with serious eating disorders, I watched this program where they were talking about, it was a regular check-in about, you know, it was about anorexia and bulimia and stuff. And it was amazing when they had the anorexic draw, the woman who was suffering from anorexia laid on her back and, oh, that's what it was. They said, draw how you think you how big you are on the ground. So draw your body shape. And so she wrote on the ground, dear body shape. Okay. Now lay in that. And she had drawn herself like 6 inches larger than she was. And the idea being is that's how she sees herself. She can't see anything. There's something blocking the truth. And I think there are varying degrees of that. And that's what's sad about this to me is that somebody can be this obsessed. And the hard part about it is it's a self-obsession. I mean, people can come, people in at that level can come across as complete narcissists because all they're focused on is this thing, but they don't, like you said, they don't even know it sometimes, or you don't even know what that there's something different until you reach a point where it finally starts to take a toll. And, you know, unfortunately with all of these things, including, it doesn't matter what disorder it is, it's usually when we get consequences.
Oh, yeah.
That we finally start to make a change. But how can you, you know, like how do you identify this? You know, it's such an inside job. If you don't, you know,
it's a total inside job.
Yeah.
It's not like someone else is going to identify it for you. But here's the thing. Like, if you decide that you're unhappy, you start seeking, or else you just start trying to cover it up. Here's another example.
Yeah.
You know, when I got sober, I wasn't even a daily drinker. I partied a couple weekends a month. Like, I wasn't even a daily drinker. None. Not one, none of my friends thought I was an alcoholic. Not one. And by all outside looks, I was just a party girl. And I wasn't even as much as I used to be. I was I was working really hard. I was still training really hard. I hadn't lost my business. I hadn't lost my, you know, I wasn't having any of those consequences. What drove me to get sober is that I started just not feeling like I was authentic and that I was being true to myself because I was this healthy personal trainer. And then on a couple weekends a month, I would just drink and do drugs. That didn't seem to add up anymore. But basically, it wasn't like someone who's drinking every day and drinking in the morning, where someone would be like, I wasn't at a point where someone was going to be like, you need to go and get help. That wasn't my story at all. But I didn't feel free. And I was tired of feeling like that. So I had my own bottom. Now, granted, I was out of control with, looking back, I always said, oh, God, I had this high bottom. I did have a high bottom in alcohol. I mean, if I would have gotten sober in my 20s, I wouldn't have been able to say that. But I somehow managed to weather that. But I was so unable to be present that I was constantly switching into workaholism, food obsession, body obsession, drinking. And then when that get to be too much, I just drink for a couple days. So it was super interesting because that you bring up these like levels, because I think it is an inside job, and I think it is absolutely self-diagnosed. And that's why I think this is a really cool question, because if you're someone who's listening to a podcast like this, odds are that you're someone who's interested, at least on some level, of living a life that's bigger and fuller and, like we like to say on here, more awesome, right? So if that is what you want, then it's cool to ask yourself that. Ask yourself, like, how free do I want to be? How much more am I willing to dive deeper into this? Like, yes, I'm married, but my marriage is, it's all right. Well, do you want to take a deeper dive and make it awesome? You know, yeah, I like myself okay, but I don't love myself. Well, do you want to take a deeper dive and like really love yourself and like go to town, you know, move from survival into thriving? Yeah, I feel okay about my body. I mean, yeah, I diet a lot and whatever, but, or do you want to be like, dude, I'm awesome and I love what I eat and I love how I feel and I love my life? I mean, that's the big thing with this freedom question, I think. Like, how do you want to feel? How awesome do you want your life to be? Like, that's why I think we do some of the podcasts where we talk about doing inventory and we talk about visioning, so that we're not just reacting and we're not just settling.
Yeah, it's one of the side effects of freedom that I enjoy is this idea of feeling like I have a choice. And that was one of the things with, and you brought up a lot of different manifestations of, I mean, this whole thing that you hear it all the time, that the drinking was just a symptom, the drug use was just a symptom, the overeating was just a symptom. And it's really the truth, because there's something inside of us that just isn't satisfied, and we're looking to satisfy it with something outside of us. And it can be anything. It could be relationships, it could be exercise, whatever it is. And what eventually, and I think that's where it's good to find out about, even if there's places in my life where I feel like I don't have a choice where I feel compelled to something, I need to take a look at that. Because the reality is for me, I feel free when I feel like I can make the choices that I want to make. Like you're talking about, like, okay, you know, it's simple to say, you know, okay, this is just okay, but do you want it to be awesome? All right, well, what does it take to make it awesome? And usually for me, it's that feeling of being engaged, of feeling like I have a choice in the matter, the feeling that I'm enjoying what I'm doing, that there isn't a hangover from it. So if, you know, and this is so, I mean, look what happens to us with all of these things, whether it's food, the next day you feel like crap, whether you drink the next day, you know, if there's something in your life that takes you to such a level that the next day you have to recover from it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not judging. Hey, we all go to the wedding and have a good time and party, right? You know,
right.
We all do, you know, or eat, you know, we all have that one night, that, you know, the birthday party where we just eat ourselves, you know, like engorge, or even here's another one. We go to a concert. We spend, you know, half a day at a rock festival. It's like, yeah, you're going to feel that the next day, you know, but it's these ideas of I kind of look at this I was having my blood drawn and the tech was asking me if I had anything going on this weekend. And I said, you know, are you going to do anything? I said, no. And the reason I said no is because I just don't want to feel tired the next day. You know, I don't want to go out all night on Nightmare on Main Street. And, you know, because even though I don't drink, I'm still really tired the next day. And, you know, because I work on Sundays. And
right.
I just as soon do something else, because I think that's where I look at stuff these days is when I was in my 20s and I felt like I had all the time in the world and everything was in front of me. It was okay if I lost a day, but as I've gotten older, my days are a lot more precious to me, and I don't want to go out and do things that take a day away that I could be doing something that makes me feel good. Because for me, this idea of how free do you want to be? Freedom is usually in my head and in my heart. And when I restrict my freedom, and I talk about it here on the show all the time. When I'm not taking care of the things that I want to take care of, they start to build up and they start renting space in my head and I'm not happy. So I would rather feel productive, get stuff done, because that makes me feel free. You know, that for me. You know? And so it really, this idea of taking things too far. Like you're talking about, it's like, of course your friends didn't think you're an alcoholic because they probably lived exactly the same as you did.
Right.
And they go, well, that's no different than what I do. Yeah.
I mean, from the outside, that's the thing, the outside.
So, So how do you feel? Then that's really, and this is what we talk about on Angela's Awesome Podcast. How does it make you feel? How do you feel? Are you happy? Okay. Yeah. You look fantastic. You're, you know, blah, blah, blah. But how do you feel? You know, are you going to be able to do this for the next 10 years? You know,
well, like, I do want to.
That's an even better question is, do you want to? Is there a little voice inside of you? And this is me in a nutshell. Generally speaking, if I'm paying attention, I can hear the little voice inside of me saying, you know, this isn't really that great. You know, we know it, whether it's, I mean, you know, I did what, 5 podcasts last week and then sat around for 24 hours with another 24 hour podcast. And when I got done, I was like, yeah, that was way too much, you know, and I don't regret any of it. It was wonderful. But like if I had that opportunity once a month, I'd be like, yeah, no, thank you. Because I know where I'm at these days, and that last week was great. I chose every minute of it. It was fun, you know, no problem. But you know what I mean? Like we all have that little voice inside of us, but we get really good at telling it to buzz off.
Well, I think we get good at telling us to buzz off, and I think that the other piece that happens is I think a lot of us get the messages that we can't tell it to buzz off. I mean, there's a certain righteousness and nobility around having an acceptable sized body, you know, and if you, you know, like I agree with every, first of all, I loved what you said. I think it's amazing. I think it's super true. I love the idea of having choices and that being part of it. But I think that one of the things when we steer it back to body image, and the obsessions that come along with that. I think there's a lot of people that really think would be like, yeah, I want to be free about making choices about how I spend my time, and I want to be free about whatever, but I only deserve to do this as long as I work out for, 75 minutes every day and do this and then only eat that. And if I eat too much pizza, then I need to work out for 90 minutes and I need to make sure I only have a salad the next day. That kind of thing. I don't think people necessarily realize that there is a way out of that.
Yeah, like you've talked about where you have to earn the vacation. You have to earn this. And you're right. A lot of these ideas are from outside influences. I mean, how much have we, learned in our life that, like this whole idea of like, well, unless you're suffering a little, unless it's hard, it's not worth it. And it's just like, no, I don't believe that anymore. I don't think it should be that way. I don't know. I guess there are certain things that it does take some suffering. There are certain goals.
Oh, of course it does. It's not, to get started.
It's not going to be easy, but yeah.
But once you find your suffering, or if you can acknowledge that you're suffering, that's when it's time to start thinking. And that's part of the point of this podcast, is to give people ideas. Like, you might be like, I'm clear. I'm obsessed about my body size. I'm clear. I'm obsessed about the inability to stop overeating. I'm clear. I'm drinking a little bit too much. I'm not an alcoholic, but I'm, whatever it is. Those things are all going to lead you, if you get enough of a suffering, enough discomfort, that's when you're going to be willing to take some action. And these are just some ideas and some actions that you can take. And for me, healing an obsession with my body, with exercise, with the whole thing that goes along with that, that's been an ongoing process. But I really needed to hear from people that it was absolutely okay to do that. I didn't even know it was okay to do that. I just thought I was doing it wrong.
That's true.
I thought I just found the magic formula where I would work out enough, rest enough, and eat the right thing, then I would be happy and everything would be okay. I didn't realize that it was so messy and it was okay to be so messy. I didn't realize that it was okay to actually be someone who enjoyed what they ate, enjoyed how they moved, and then just allow their body to be where it was. I just didn't think that was, I didn't know that was okay. I mean, that might be sounds insane, but that was the way that I thought. And the other thing about that being in some pain or being in some discomfort, once you start down this road of healing where you start addressing these things, this has been my experience, it doesn't take as much pain for me to start taking some action.
Exactly. Like,
I was obsessed about this dog, but it was really clear to me within a day that I was getting drug around by my thoughts. And then I needed to do something about it because I don't like getting drug around by my thoughts anymore. Back when I first got sober 12 years ago, that kind of thing, that wouldn't have even been a blip. I would have been totally fine suffering with that for a long time. I was totally okay suffering with a lot of stuff for a long time. Now, not so much.
Yeah, it's because
now when I wake up,
I was just saying, it's because once we start to gain awareness, and we start to get some clarity.
Yeah.
Whether it's through, little moments of clarity or whatever you want to call it, it does. It becomes harder to keep going. How do you instruct people to, It's like what tools do you use to gain clarity? That's my question.
Well, tools to gain clarity. First of all, you have to identify that there's something you need clarity on. So basically, hopefully this is, if you're someone who's like, wow, I don't know what they're talking about, but I'd like to be more free, then you can be like, it's usually pretty clear where you're not free once you start hearing stuff like this. Like one of the things that happened to me was, I remember, in this whole obsession about my weight and getting up and like getting on the scale and be like, oh, it's a bad day. And then along the line, I started hearing things like every day could be an awesome day. And I was like, God, that's what I want. I don't want to have bad days just because I decided to have pizza. Or I don't want to have bad days just because, whatever because of this number on the scale. I want to have good days even if the number's not perfect. And so that started me getting on this path to different tools to do that. So the first thing is just realizing that something's dragging you around. And then the second thing is, like, really just sitting down. I mean, I'm a huge fan of visioning and writing because if you can, and taking time and space to do this, but if you can actually sit with yourself long enough in a quiet place or take a walk and just think, what am I, how am I not happy? What area of my life? Then you can start doing something about it by listening to a podcast like this, by looking up Byron Katie with the work, by joining a 12-step group if you're that kind of, you know, if it's that far, by hiring a coach, by doing some research online. Like, I'm depressed. What do people do? You know, you just start doing it, and then just like we talk about all the time, then you start doing one little action at a time. I'm obsessed with my body. I don't want to be obsessed with my body. Okay, good to know. What's the first thing you can do? Well, the first thing you can do is you can start being in your body. Like, stop dieting for 2 months. Start doing exercise only that you love and give yourself 2 months off of trying to lose weight. Boom. There you go. There's your first action. Don't, you're not on a diet. Notice how hard that is for your brain if you're someone who chronically diets, which a lot of people do. 10, 15, 20 years, constantly dieting, constantly, you know, creating some space. And then other things will start to come up. And it could be something like, Jesus, I'm married to him. I'm really not happy. Or it could be like, wow, I don't like this job. Or I've really wanted to always learn how to play the piano. Or I really want to go on vacation. What can I do? I mean, things start coming up because these things can be placeholders, these obsessions, yeah, right? Just like you mentioned, yeah. Like the alcohol and drugs aren't really about the alcohol. I mean, for me, the alcohol and drugs weren't really about the alcohol and drugs. The alcohol and drugs was a way for me to get out of the brain that was making me crazy. It was a way for me to get unconscious. So if I can figure out a way to learn how to slowly be present, then I don't need to be unconscious when my life isn't so painful. So there's no like one little like, this is what you do, but just starting yourself, just like, where do I need more freedom?
You know, it's a great suggestion to take 2 months and change something in your life and see what the effect is.
Totally.
See how important it is. Find out what happens as a result of just saying, okay, for 2 months I'm going to, you know, like you said, like if you're obsessed about weight in and of itself, okay, I'm going to keep doing my exercise and blah, 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 but I'm going to stop, you know, I'm not going to look at the scale for 2 months and I'm going to do what feels right. And I'm going to see what comes up from that. And, you know, hopefully it's, something where you get a little perspective and a little clarity and you go, oh, okay, wow, you know, or you find a new enjoyment. Because like you said, it really, that term placeholder is so good because it is what, so many times our obsessions of whatever it is masking, you know, something that we just don't want to deal with. It really is. You know, when there's times in my life where I've been in recent history where I start checking out. You know, and I'm checking out from something, but I don't even realize what it is I'm checking out from, because when you've got an obsession, obsessions tend to block all, you know, these, you know, like I said before, we don't even know the truth half the time when we're stuck in something that's, you know, when we're obsessing, you know, and we don't even know what the possibility is. And, you know, I don't want to see somebody sit there and, you know, step away from something they're obsessing about and realize that, oh, you know, my life sucks, you know, cause my job sucks. But hey, if it's a step on the path towards gaining true freedom, you know, sometimes sometimes it has to get ugly before it gets better.
And you know what, honestly, I don't want anyone to have to go through ugly, but ugly is a huge gift, because when it's ugly enough, when it's hurtful enough, when you're in enough pain, that's when you're willing to take the biggest actions. And for me, the times that I've taken the biggest actions have been the times that have changed the trajectory of my life in such a way that it has made a huge impact. So while I didn't enjoy the hard part of it, I have certainly enjoyed the shift that came from me being basically in enough pain that I was like, okay, I'm done. you know, it's just like, I think we talked about this last week where we were talking about like the ego doesn't want us to go into crisis. Just wants us to be mildly miserable, right? Because if we're mildly miserable, we're not going to really probably do a whole lot about it. But if we go into crisis, I really don't like this job. We're going to start thinking outside the box. We're going to start having conversations with our significant other and being like, okay, I'm unhappy here. What can I do? What are some small actions I can take to start to turn this around, as opposed to, well, right?
Yeah.
You're just going to kind of keep going. Like, you're just kind of mildly miserable, or you're just, yeah, whatever. I think that when we get into these worlds of hurt, even though they suck at the time that we're going through it, it's a major opportunity. I mean, crisis is a major gift. As terrible as it is, honestly, I mean, and it's hard to look at it when you're in it. And obviously it's scary to go there. That's why we have these things. But how free do you want to be?
And that's why it's worth looking at right now, wherever you are right now. And you brought up the point about how the more you do this, the quicker you realize that you're right in these states, and the quicker you can adjust yourself and get out of them. But one of the things that I look at is I've experienced bottoms. I've experienced desperation. You know, in 2020 hindsight, I understand they were gifts, but they sucked. And I don't want to have them anymore. So now, I don't want to have the gift. Thank you for the gift of, I don't want the, you can keep that tough gift. I'm sorry for my beep. I mean, really, I don't want that anymore. So what do I do on a daily basis as part of my living, my program for life? Is I look for these things now. I look for them where they are starting to creep in, because I've learned the hard way that these are the little things that can prevent my freedom. And I just love this term of mildly miserable. I mean, I hope that Jen and Brian will do that on The Crazy Life and talk about that, because he talks about happy-ish, you know, which is like, that's like being on the positive side of mildly miserable, right? You know, it's like, hey, if I can achieve happy, life's pretty good. And mildly miserable is a place where we can stay in for a long time. And I look for that now, because I know where that leads to. That eventually, you know, because like you said, you can get used to being in this state of somewhat uncomfortable. It's easy to stay in that state. It's very difficult when we hit, you know, like you said, we hit a bottom, we hit a motivational point, we rise out of it. But I think anybody at any time in their life can look and say, okay, where am I heading in a direction? There's a bunch of Cancun dancing going on via Skype right now.
Wait, bring Sharon back. I got something. Sharon.
Sharon, you got to come back
here.
All
right, let's do a little timeout. But one of my clients gave this to me. Check this out. Where is she? You.
She just got a spray tan. What are you doing to prep for it? Buying maracas, evidently.
A bikini wax.
A bikini wax, okay. Yeah. Sharon's showing off her boobs for everyone that's listening. And her fine tan. You guys are nuts.
You guys, how free do you want to be? Heno, great conversation today.
What else have you been coaching people with regard to this? What are some tools and tips?
Well, the big thing is, you know, just like, I mean, the big thing is all the things that we talk about: acceptance, baby steps, embodiment. Maybe we'll do embodiment next week. Number one way to get healing around body image is to get in your body, breathing, moving, listening, slowing down, being in your body so that you know what your body, how do I feel right now? Am I hungry? Am I sad? Am I cold? Do I need to move? Do I need to sit? We're so disembodied. That's one of the major things to get in there. If you have body image issues, throw the scale out. Throw the scale out. Get rid of it. Chuck it. Boom. No, there's no room for compromise on that. Chuck it out. Buy clothes that fit you. Start looking for Add a positivity ads. Start looking for bigger bodies on social media and follow them instead of all the skinny minis. You know, meditation is a great start for this stuff because then you can start getting present, like getting clear about what's not working for you.
I have something I've got to share with you. This cracked me up. A, because it was my own brilliance that made me laugh, but this is totally
love your own brilliance.
It's totally one of those moments where how clever am I? So there was a friend of mine that was talking about just, you know, life stuff. And this is on Facebook. And a friend of his chimed in about, wouldn't it be cool to like have, you know, like how they have noise canceling headphones that you know, when you get on the plane, you put your music on, and you don't have to listen to everything else. And wouldn't it be cool if we had life canceling headphones? So, you know, we can shut off those voices that are cut, you know, that voice in our head. And I'm just like, yeah, we have that. It's called I Meditate. It's been around for centuries. And I'm like, aren't I clever?
I meditate. You are super clever, and I love it.
And I use the old, you know, the,
I meditate.
I meditate. And that's little I, capital M, I meditate. Like iTunes, iPod. Yeah, like she literally described meditation, what that does.
I love it.
You know,
it's
like...
It's so true.
To silence things, to put yourself into a, you know, to let go, ignore some of those distractions. And yeah, you know, one of the,
And go back, hold on, before you go on, go back to the meditation because you guys, this is a super big thing and we've talked about it, but not for a long time. Don't worry if you can't do it well. Just sit there.
Yeah.
And when you have thoughts, go, oh, I'm thinking. And then go back to breathing. And then when you have another thought, which will be like less than a second later, go, oh, thinking again. And sometimes I'll think, and I'll be like, whoa, how'd I get here? Then I'll go back and I'm like, okay, back to my breath.
Back to breath.
And that'll take up like 30 seconds. And just start with 5 minutes. Like, don't worry about it.
So one of the things, I looked up the definition of embodiment.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm listening. I'm just studying.
Embodiment, one of the definitions of embodiment is about manifestation. It's taking an idea and manifesting it. It's changing its form. It's taking that something is a simple concept and you know that when someone is the embodiment, you know, we talk about the embodiment of an ideal, right? So Gandhi and Martin Luther King were embodiments of ideas, and so it was hitting me as I read that definition. This, you know, embodying something can be as simple as so that little voice inside of us that says, you know, maybe you should change that a little bit. And so if we become the embodiment of that, it means like we manifest it into our lives more fully. We take that little idea, that little concept of either a small change, a different mindset, and we put our energy into that. And that's something that you know, I try to work on these days is these little things that I never thought I'd ever be able to achieve. You know, the places where I felt like I was fake in my life and not genuine, where I felt disingenuous, I saw it in somebody else, but I wanted it for myself. And I just didn't know how to achieve it because I thought it was this big deal, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. The problem, all I had to learn, and this is where the gift of desperation came in, is all I had to learn is that just that simple thought of I see something in somebody else that I like. Like
right.
they just have a sense of grace or you know, they have their outlook on life, the way that they roll with the punches or whatever it is. That little idea right there inside of me, I just had to nurture that.
Right.
And I had to follow some of the rules. You just laid out a bunch of different tools for doing that. Various reading materials. You can listen to positive podcasts. You can, you know, whatever it is. You read books. I just said that.
Well, you can sign up for emails that you get every morning. You look for, you know, instead of following things that depress you on Facebook feeds, start signing up for stuff that's cool.
Yeah.
Like sign up for stuff that makes you feel lifted up. Like stop looking at depressing things all the time. Like I'm not advocating that you don't need to be informed. But we don't need to start your day watching the news first thing in the morning and then wonder why you're depressed.
Yeah, if that's what's
doing it for you. Start your day with something positive. You can get to the news later. You're not changing anything by deciding to watch it first thing in the morning or deciding to watch it later. That's not changing what's happening on the planet.
Yeah, you're not going to be less than.
You're not going to implode. You're not going to miss out on something. You can get to it. But if you get up and you first thing in the morning, you start yourself with the news, you're going to set yourself up to be depressed. I'm sorry. Unless you're already like just super Mr. Positive, then it may not affect you. But that kind of thing makes a huge difference. And I love that you looked up embodiment, because that's what we're talking about. Like, we're trying, when I'm talking about embodiment, I'm talking about you being in your body instead of thinking about, you know, I mean, you'll just pay attention to it. Be like, am I in my body? Am I paying? How does it feel? That's why yoga is kind of a cool thing. It's like you sit and you ground down through your sits bones and you think about, you know, what parts of your body are facing the floor and how your spine is lengthening. It's like teaches you to be inside your body, to be part of that. So, but no, I mean, there's no like one quick answer, but it's a matter of basically, I think the biggest point after all this is, how free do you want to be? Just realizing that for most of us, there's more freedom to be had.
There always is.
I mean, when I first got sober, I wrote this in the blog, I woke up every day afraid. Every day. Like, the first thing I would think is, I would be like, ugh, I'm fat. Ugh, this is such a huge day, I don't know if I can do it. Ugh, if I don't do it, I'm not a good person. Ugh, this, ugh, that. Oh, you know, Rob did this. And this, these crazy thoughts, and it would leave me in fear first thing in the morning. I had no idea that there was an option. So slowly through working on this for a long time, now that doesn't come up for me ever first thing in the morning. Now, sometimes it comes up for me later on in the day, like I can't pay that bill, I don't want it, you know, that kind of thing. Then I can use some of these tools that we talk about on this podcast all the time in order to get back into that headspace. And that's what happened to me with the dog obsession. I was like, okay, I don't like feeling like this anymore. What am I going to do to create some more space so I'm not constantly just concerned about this dog that I can't do anything about other than what I've already done. Anyway, I love it. I love and you talked about it so eloquently, like the choices. Like, to you, freedom means you have choices. And sometimes we're going to still choose to be drug around a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And but like, for me, my suggestion, you know, it's like, hey, sit down. What's making you not feel free? Where in your life right now are you feeling some pressure? That was the thing with my money this last month, was like, hey, where can I relieve some pressure? Where can I just give myself a little more feeling of choice? What can I do? I had to do some writing, target something. And as simple as, you know, and is there something where you're carrying a resentment right now in your life? Is there something where, you know, maybe you owe someone just $10? Go pay the $10. See if you feel any more free. Maybe you just need to say, hey, you know, sorry about that comment I made to you last week, you know, at work. Try it. See if it makes you feel a little more free, because that's what did it for me, was these little baby steps, was doing one little thing and going, wow, I'm glad I did that. I feel better now, you know, and then it made me kind of go, okay, what else can I do? You know, I started looking at oh, wow, I feel a little relief here. You know, now what else can I do to feel a little more freedom?
And it came from the gift of having to have that dental work done. Right?
Yeah, some gift.
You didn't just do that because it was like, this is a good idea, I'm a good person, I'm going to do this. You did it because you got into some pain.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Well, you know, hey, that's me in a nutshell. You know, it really is. And that's why
people.
I just... Yeah, well, because I'm a human being, and sometimes I get, and that's why, like, right now, my whole focus is on, let's not go there again. Let's not go to the pain point.
Sometimes we can avoid that, and sometimes life kicks us in the teeth.
Yep, it does. Get back up.
All right. I gotta go.
Yeah, and?
We gotta wrap it up. We've been chatting at everybody. Are you guys still listening?
Hope you had a great Halloween.
Guys, Have a great, this is a, such a great day, the beginning of the month. Yes.
Yeah, actually, so yeah, what do you got going for this month, everybody? What do you, you know, what let's do it. Let's have a great week and let's see the month. So yeah, Angela says she's going to podcast with me next Friday. Yeah, right. You're going to be in Cancun. We hate you all. We hate you, all of us.
Computer.
No, we're jealous.
We'll see. Although there's been rumblings about a lobster cruise.
Interesting. There better be lots of Instagramming.
There will be.
So
I've already got the best picture for tomorrow morning when I go to the airport.
Yeah. And I'm stuck.
It's so cute.
And me and your husband, stuck with dogs.
You guys are our best men ever. We couldn't be luckier. Sharon and I are going to talk every day. We're going to start every day saying, aren't we lucky?
Yeah, I want to see, a gratitude Instagram every morning.
That's right.
To your coming men you, who are taking care of dogs.
yay. I'm so glad we got a chance to do this today. Yeah.
So speaking of Instagram, how do they find you?
Angela's Gym, Instagram, Facebook. What's my other one? Oh, Twitter. No wonder I can't remember it. Goingtoangelas.com is my website. You can get on my blog. Yep. And then you can find Henno at
Ida Henno.
This is produced by Monkey Tongue Productions.
Yeah, Monkey Tongue Productions is actually getting some work done this week. Woohoo!
You guys, check out Henno's new music.
Yeah, it'll be out soon. So
we're talking about it. Okay.
Yeah. I'll talk to you.
Sharon!
Sharon, you're missing the maracas again. All right.
Bye.
Bye.